Well, we're on the telephone this morning with Don Close, who is a senior analyst with Rabo Research, Rabo Research Food and Agribusiness. Don, wanted to visit with you about your second quarter beef report that was just released last week. Give us an idea of kind of the highlights of that report.
I think the biggest highlight of that report is that demand globally is still very, very good. And that's helping everybody. If there's a downside to that we're seeing in that report is with the prices we've seen for the last several years, certainly with everybody's hopes of escalating their share of business with China, production levels are larger or in the process of expanding with all the major suppliers. So that's the good news is demand's very, very good. The caution in that report is that everybody's trying to ramp up production to take advantage of it.
So we have this drought in the Southwest again, and that's going to be quite a factor in the market here this year, right?
I think it's a huge factor. And I just got back a week ago from a trip in Australia and New Zealand. And it's not only are we dry here in the States, but certainly Northeast Australia, specifically Queensland, Northern Queensland, Northeast Queensland, there's still an area there that's very, very dry as well, that they're seeing a risk of increased slaughter rates because of drought. I ran the numbers, U.S. numbers yesterday, and working from last Thursday's drought monitor, the number of states with some level of drought stress is like 21 states, but like 53% of U.S. beef cows reside in some area of drought stress, and 34% of our beef cows reside in states with either extreme or extraordinary drought conditions. So our risk of seeing some level of drought liquidation of beef cows before the summer's over with is very high. Arguably, we're already seeing a level of liquidation. Weekly beef cow slaughter has been running as much as 10% above a year ago. I don't think that threshold by itself is a real an overly concern, but if we see additional liquidation and additional cow slaughter, it's really going to press the slaughter or non-fed slaughter capabilities with any more cows. Then the bigger picture issue is we've been expanding U.S. beef cow numbers since 2014. Expectations, while it's slowed to a very slow rate, but we still have projected for an increase in beef cow numbers in 2018, and that with the percentage of heifers in the fed slaughter mix and the escalation in cow slaughter that we're talking about, that's really putting into question if we're expanding at all, and very arguably could see already be at some very modest level of liquidation of females.
And of course, that drought also contributed to the increased placements we've seen over the last few months, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The extraordinary placements that we had from September through January was heavily weighted with lightweight calves that normally would have been turned out on winter wheat or some kind of winter forage. And those calves were forced to go directly into the feed yard. The increase in slaughter that we are seeing right now and will likely see through July and into August is last fall's calf crop. So that gives us a lot of concern for the U.S. market during the middle of the summer. But it also, as we've seen the last 2 months, a reduction in placements. And I think that could be a real supportive influence for fed cattle supplies late third and in the fourth quarter of this year. So we've kind of got the rat through a snake scenario going on where we have that whole calf crop coming through in very short order, but there's nothing behind it.
Okay, another factor is some increases in fodder and grain prices that has been going on?
It's not rallying. It's there. And I'd say we're seeing more of a threat because of the escalation in hay prices, specifically on dairy quality hay, has been more of an influence to date than has the escalation in feed grain prices. Now that we're, you know, when we had such a late start to this year's growing season, as spring was so slow in coming, when we were delayed in that planting progress, there was real concerns that we could run into problems with the row crop. I think those tensions have eased a bit now that we're pretty well completed with the planting season. But with the 88 million acres of corn down from 90 last year, without question, we're going to reduce ending stocks down from the 2.2 to 2.4 billion that we started this year with, and we'll be down to like 1.8 billion, 1.7, 1.8 a year from at the end of the year. So yeah, we're tightening up supplies of coarse grains that will make if. Not necessarily a lot of price increase by itself, but certainly has the potential to make feed grain prices much more volatile.
Boy, lots of volatility in this cattle futures market.
Yes, there is. And it just seems to be something that that we live with these days. I'd say besides the weather issues that we've talked about, the growing global demand and the pace of global trade that we've talked about, that's a factor in that volatility. But the elephant in the room, Ken, is we've got every trade agreement that the U.S. is up in the air, and just how these chips will fall with all these various trade agreements, that by itself is causing extraordinary volatility. So a lot of stacked on circumstances here that's driving that volatility.
What's kind of your outlook here for the next few months then overall?
Overall, I've still got some concern with Fed cattle prices in the short term. In the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've seen Fed steer prices go from a short-term and near-term peak of 126. And you know, for the last 2 weeks, we've basically trading at 110. The popular market view is that Fed steer market could drift down to the $1.05 level before we see any kind of base. I hope that's right. My personal bias is I think we could see Fed steer prices in it for a very short period of time trade below a dollar. And I'm thinking in the August time window for that low to occur. But once that once we get there, and that tightening availability of Fed steers for the late third, fourth quarter, I think we could see finish out the year back to that 120, possibly as much as 125. So I'm looking for a fairly sharp V bottom in prices, additional pressure short term, but a pretty substantial rally to finish out the year.
And what about feeder cattle prices?
Feeder cattle, I'm actually more optimistic. That's largely driven from seasonality, that it's time for feeder prices to move higher. But as has come up in several points through this conversation, we use that available supply of feeder cattle at a faster than normal pace, and that in turn has left our supplies of feeder cattle outside of feed yards below year-ago levels. So a combination of this pure seasonality and shorter supply, I think feeders are going to stay high in relationship to either spot cash fed steer prices or even deferred live cattle futures. I think the guys are going to have to stay really competitive to get the number of feeder cattle they want.